Today on Growing Through Grace.
Amazing to me how often God speaks to me directly through His Word. So often after services, people will come up and say, God spoke to me this morning. How did you know? I always say this, I didn't know, but God knows, and His Word works.
You're listening to Growing Through Grace with Pastor Jack Abelin of Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California. Now, when Jesus faced the temptation of Satan, He answered every one of them with the Word of God. If that was good enough for Jesus, it certainly is good enough for us. As we get back to our studies in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, Pastor Jack will continue to show us the solid assurance that we can have in the infallible Word of God. Here's our teacher with the conclusion of this message.
So when you open your Bible and you read things like, I have spoken it, shall I not make it good? Or it shall come to pass. Or heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I just say to you, you better believe that. Because His word is authoritative. You might remember there in Mark is a chapter 1 where the people gathered often to listen to Jesus. In fact, even those sent from the Sanhedrin to grab Him came back saying, well, He doesn't speak like anyone else. And Mark recorded that the people were astonished at His teaching. He taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. The scribes would say, well, you know, I read so-and-so's book, and this is what he says, and so this is what I think. And Jesus just comes and said, this is I say to you. I say to you. He was the authority. He is the authority. Infallible, inerrant, complete, authoritative, fifthly, sufficient. In other words, it doesn't lack anything for your spiritual well-being. Look, the Bible does not delve into every point of medicine or environment or law, but it gives every answer that God wants you and I to have, His creation, to help our spiritual and moral and psychological lives. He addresses it in many places. You want peace? Here's God's peace. Surveys come and go. Diagnosis and treatments change. Some people, because the initial solution discovered created more problems than it is, walked away from certain ideas. But God's word never fails us. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness by His divine power. Everything that you need for life and godliness, that's what you care about. Oh, you can go to school and be a doctor, learn, or go to be a lawyer, or learn a trade, and you're right, those aren't in the Bible, but your life and the way you live it certainly is, and the relationship that you have with God. For life and godliness, that's what you need. You need this book, the Sword of the Spirit. It is infallible, inerrant, complete, authoritative, is sufficient, and it is effective. It works. When the Lord speaks, things happen. It's amazing to me how often God speaks to me directly through His Word. Just reading it, studying it, and there it is. I had never thought about it, but there it is. So often after services, people will come up and say, God spoke to me this morning. How did you know? Well, I didn't know. Look at me. I'm an idiot. I hardly know how to get home. So I always say this. I didn't know, but God knows, and His word works. It never returns to Him void. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 11? It never returns to Him void. I love that. So shall my word be that proceeds forth out of my mouth. It'll always accomplish wherefore I send it. It'll prosper in the thing that I send it to do. God's word works. And I suspect when you come to church on Wednesdays and you get your Bible out and you've had a long day and you'd probably rather be going home, or maybe you missed dinner because you're got stuck on the freeway, but you're just going to make it work. God will honor that. And you will be blessed for your commitment to believing that His ways work. We need to be convinced of the Bible's effectiveness if we're ever going to use the sword properly. You know, if you buy a stain remover because you've spilled something on a garment that you like, and you go home and you put it on there, and you wait 2 minutes, you go, that doesn't work, and you throw the thing away. And you forget to read on the back of the bottle, leave it on the stain for at least 3 hours. It hasn't served you, but it wasn't the fault of the stain remover. It was your problem. You didn't read the instructions. So we need to read God's word. And if you haven't seen any change in a minute and a half, hang in there. Because God will do as God has said. You'll reap what you sow. You'll grow in your life what you plant there. His word is effective. And you can let it grow in you. It's amazing how often over the years I've been in counseling with people, and you take the Bible out, and it seems to me the answer is fairly straightforward. And people will say things like, Pastor, this isn't church, this is real life. To which, and what does that mean exactly? Well, I need you to help me, because these aren't platitudes, man. Stuff's got to happen, you know. I need some real answers. Well, the Bible is just that, real answers. You need to know His word. Not part of it, all of it. You can't just read, God provides for all of our needs, and forget about reading, if you don't work, you don't eat. You can't play Bible roulette. Lord, speak to me. And Judas went out and hung himself. Go do likewise. Oh, you can't play the game. It's going to take study time. You're going to have to go practice. I spent a lot of time with the sheriff department. I've had conditional use permits to carry a gun for years. But I tell you what, you can't shoot a gun well without practice. Especially as you get older and your eyes kind of go, you got to readjust and learn. And it's just, would you ever tuck out a gun and, I think I can hit him, or I'm going to hit 3 people near him. I'm going to be close either way. You got to study His word. And like I said, I'm singing to the choir because you're here. It is effective. And it's divine. And maybe that's putting it much too simply, but it is more than a book of human genius. It is a love letter from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Which means 40 authors from every walk of life over about a 1,500-year period from roughly 1490 B.C. or so to about 90 A.D. wrote the Bible in 3 different languages, led by the Holy Spirit. Peter said God's word is God-breathed and God-inspired and God-backed. This is God's book. I get it if you read it and you just go, I don't know. No, that's true. If I wrote it, you should say, I don't know. Or if you wrote it, we would be skeptical, but you didn't. He did. Finally, God's word is determinative, which means whatever your determination about the scriptures is, it will reveal both your present relationship with God, and if continued on that path, eventually it will determine your eternal destiny. Your response of obedience and faith to His word will reveal what your heart is like. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 47, He who is of God hears God's words. And then He said to these Pharisees, you are not of the Lord because you do not know God, you do not hear His word. So it determines where you stand. Your opinion of the Bible tells me a lot about who you are. It determines our future. Many people throughout history have given their lives so that today you can have this Bible in print in your own language, owning it yourself. There are certainly plenty of places around the world today where people still hunger to have their own copy of the Bible. We worked with Brother Andrew for years, smuggling Bibles into China. It was amazing how we could go through customs with 10,000 Bibles and they looked the other way. But they did. But people in China cannot have a Bible as a copy unless it's a state one. And so you're blessed. You're blessed to have a copy of His Word. Yet all of this has been given to us by God so that we might know Him, with the interest that you would use it to stand against the lies of the enemy and take back the ground that sin has given up, that faithlessness has given up, that disobedience has given up, you know, to restore what the canker worm has destroyed, as you read in the prophets, or just to take back ground that through deception or lies or deceit, you've given back. The scriptures are designed so that you can have peace again, have joy again, have hope again, have a great confidence in God's power to save, to deliver, to answer prayer. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God gives to each and every one of us this last and very powerful piece of armor, and we would be wise to seek to use it to our best advantage, to get to be comfortable with it. An unbeliever might have a Bible, yet not knowing God, it profits him nothing. You've probably watched, especially during election year, so maybe you'll get it this year, politicians quote the Bible completely out of context, just making it say whatever they want it to, you know, however they want to use it. But a believer in Christ who's not learning the Bible is in about the same condition. He has a Bible that doesn't yet have him. So as we begin to look to God's Word and to the Holy Spirit to guide us, we can begin to be wiser and more effective in battle. But the key is always the same, knowing God's Word. If a soldier is wounded in battle because he didn't know how to use his sword, that's on him. He can't look at his sword and go, stupid sword. No, stupid user of the sword would be the right answer. Some Christians carry around huge Bibles. They have bumper stickers, beautiful covers. They bring it to church for 30 minutes and then throw it back in the trunk for the next Sunday and hope that I don't go long, because that's for 30 minutes is plenty. And yet they know it very little. You can find these Christians at every Bible event, every conference, every retreat, every breakfast, and yet the sword lies silently next to them. They are the folks on Sunday morning who you say, let's open to Psalms. They're still looking for it, and it's the end of the service. Their Bible smells brand new, though. It's 10 years old. Parts of it have stuck together. They've never bothered to open it. We have people, well, I shouldn't say here now. We've had people who, if I teach an Old Testament study on Wednesday night, stop coming. Well, that's the Old Testament. Yeah, you're right. The Lord was so silly. You know, put 39 of these books in the Old Testament just so we could ignore them. Now we're down to 27. Isn't that great? We've done more than 50% right away. Well, that's not exactly how God intends for us to be. Every part of this book is there for a reason. It all fits together. The old is, or the new is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. We need it. How easy to be defeated in a war with enemies because we failed to know what the mind of Christ is, what His Word says. We've seen it, unfortunately, I think it's the biggest battle that we face, right? Paul wrote to the Romans, by the tender mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're all about. We've got to learn what God has to say and line up with what He's told us. If God's people set God's Word aside, something they think maybe they know better than He, and they lay down their swords, they lose the benefits of knowing the Lord altogether, and they're in real danger of being cut down by the enemy. It's an interesting picture to watch how people come and go based so often on the Scriptures. Some people see diligent study as just too much work. They only have time for things they enjoy. So if I'm teaching the book of Job, I don't want to come to that. That's all down. That's a downer, man. I don't want to come to Leviticus. Well, that's all legal stuff. I don't really want to go to that. You got any blessing verses coming up? I'd like to maybe attend some of those. You know, too much doom and gloom in the prophets. No, you need God's word. If we're going to be proficient in wielding the scripture, you know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil for almost 6 weeks, hand-to-hand combat, he answered every temptation with the word of God properly applied in the context. Even when Satan tried to misquote one to Jesus, Jesus set him straight. If I have someone come in and say to me, hey, I'm having trouble, and so tell me about your life, and then he starts with, I'm living with my girlfriend. And I said, well, you shouldn't be living with your girlfriend. What are you doing that for? And they'll say, well, the economy is bad. And this helps both of us. I say this, God can provide for you, do the right thing. Make up the decision to do the right thing. And then he says, fine, when he provides, I'll move out. And I say, wrong. Faith first, then we see God's hand. The sword is defensive in that it will keep you from sin, protect you from foolish decisions and mistakes, put God's light on every situation so that you'll know how to walk. But it's offensive. You can attack and capture strongholds of the enemy that he's established in your life. Every time I share God's word, I enter into warfare for the souls of men. That's how it works. Satan often initiates a counterattack when God's word is being taught. Just go to the parable of the sower. Read about how some of the seeds, God's word, falls upon hard hearts, or shallow hearts, stony hearts, or thorny hearts, where the cares of this world have choked it out. There's always a battle for our commitment to know his word. Like I said, and I think it's in Luke chapter 10, when the lawyer came to test Jesus, said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what's written in the law? What is your reading of it? Or literally, what's your take on it? I think that's pretty illustrative, right? I want eternal life. Great. What does the Bible say? That was Jesus' answer. Now, we may not be very well versed in science or philosophy or astronomy or economics, but you and I should be really wise in Christ. Each one of us should have an advanced degree in the scriptures. In fact, if you know Jesus, you're a lot smarter than most people in this world. In fact, smarter than everyone in this world. When people come and they say to me, I really feel like the Lord has called me to be a witness to the cults, I tell them this, don't read any of the cult books. Yeah, well, you know, they use this, but I don't care what they use. You just read your Bible. Because if you're well-versed in the scriptures, every one of those errors will be obvious to you. So don't bother with those. When Paul wrote to Timothy, his last letter, almost the last chapter, he's just getting to the end before he's murdered. He says to Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Convince and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Just get the Bible out there to the people. People sometimes criticize our church that we do too much Bible study. I take that as a compliment. You're not here. You want to be entertained? Go somewhere else, I guess. I don't know. I'm plenty entertained with the rest of you, but I have a little plaque right here. It says, sir, we would see Jesus. That's why we're here, isn't it? It's all that matters. To know God's word is a long way from saying, it's in there somewhere. Peter said, sanctify the Lord in your heart. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for the hope that lies within you, but give it to them with meekness and with fear. You don't want someone to come up and ask you something and go, I don't know where that is. Now, I must tell you, as a pastor, people put me on the spot a lot. Hey, pastor, where's that scripture again? You know, I don't always remember where they're at. It's a big book. And now that I'm older, if I know where my Bible is, that's a good start right there. But needless to say, we should know the scriptures as well as we can. I would say learn the, for me, I learned the Bible by chapters. and by books in terms of time when they're written. It is certainly a prerequisite for ministry. It's one thing to tell people what the Bible says. It's another thing to open it up and show it to them and share it with them in the context in which it is written. That way, if they disagree with it, their dispute is with the Lord, not with you. Let me ask you a question. What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? John 17. What is it? Jesus' prayer. That's right. Genesis 1. You guys are all there. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. Very good. Revelations 2 and 3. Oh, yeah, there you go. So there, 4, 5, 6, 7 chapters already. That's how I learned the Bible. I'm good at where the chapters are. I can't always tell you where the verses are. But can you imagine Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil saying, oh man, where's that verse again? Sure wish Peter was here to help me. Not exactly the what you want to hear. Just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you know how to use a sword. What does the Bible say? What is your reading of it? It is certainly easy for us to grow complacent about Bible study, especially because God's work tends to go slower rather than quicker. So we have to, you know, we have to hang around for a while to see what's going to grow from all that we've planted. And it doesn't happen overnight. We stop pressing ahead. We really haven't learned nothing new, you know. And I said to people sometimes, if you've been a Christian for 10 years, you probably will never hear a Bible study that's new, or you shouldn't. Oh, maybe a new way of presenting it, but the truth won't change. I would think if you're a regular church member for 10 years in a church teaching the Bible, you've probably heard, for me, every joke I've told, you've probably heard. It might be good for you to go somewhere else just to get new jokes. I don't know. I don't see that that's the issue, though. The issue is staying with it. Don't be on autopilot. Don't put it out of gear. Don't run on empty. You're going to lose the battles. Don't be a butterfly. You know, butterflies are fun. They just light on a flower. They sit for a few seconds. They move on to the next. They touch a lot of blossoms, but not very many of them touch them. They don't live very long. A botanist does kind of the other thing. He shows up with a magnifying glass and a notebook and a number 2 pencil. He takes a lot of notes, makes a lot of observations, but then he's gone. People do that sometimes. They'll come to church and they'll say, oh, we really liked your preaching. The seats were comfortable. The people were nice. A little cold, though. I go, what did you learn? They never say anything about that. Or people sometimes come out and they go, oh, last week's message was awesome, Pastor. I go, great. What did you learn? They go, it was really good. Look, I get it, but we don't want to be botanists or butterflies. We want to be like bees, right? We want to be small but sit on the flower and dig deep and extract all of the pollen. We want to arrive empty and leave full. We want to pray before we get here that the Lord would speak to us, that we would rightly divide the scriptures, that more than a nice feeling or looking good or, you know, being moved to tears, we're moved to a confidence that we didn't have before. Sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Great words of commitment from our teacher, Pastor Jack Abelin. We've been listening to a study taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. This has been the second half and conclusion of a 2-part study. If you'd like to get the entire message, we do have that available for you. All you need to do to order is simply contact us and ask for study number 3698. Now, it's always helpful for us to know the radio station that you're listening to, so be sure to mention those call letters when you get a hold of us. And here in the month of June, we're offering in the MP3 format the Old and New Testament of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible at a special bundle price. With over 1,000 studies to listen to, this would make a great gift for anyone on your list or even yourself. So if you'd like to walk with Pastor Jack through the entire Old and New Testament in this MP3 format, you can order this resource or get today's study by dialing our toll-free phone number, That number is 866-88-GRACE. That's 866-884-7223. You can also order by mail. Just address your letter to Growing Through Grace, P.O. Box 1954, Whittier, California, 90609. Or you can get this resource and many others on our website at growingthroughgrace.com. That's growingthroughgrace.com. And if you're ordering by phone, just remember that our Growing Through Grace office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And that does finish up our time for today. We invite you to plan on joining us next time as we'll continue working our way through the book of Ephesians. Until then, as you daily walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, may you continue to grow in His grace. Growing Through Grace is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California, a Calvary Chapel outreach.